Bruchim Habaim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Kislev Tavshin Pei Aleph, corresponding with the English calendar, November 16th, 2020. I would like to dedicate tonight's shir Le'Aliyas Nishmas Rafael Ben Yosef Avraham, this neshama who passed away recently, should have a zechus and have the merit of the Torah learning tonight and all of the gains and the mitzvahs that will result of this shir should be his credit. We should be zeicha to always shir simchas together. This week's parsha is Parshas Toldos. Parshas Toldos is one of the intriguing parshios of the Torah that talks about Yaakov and Esav, talks about the blessings of Yaakov and Esav, and how he received the blessings. Very, very difficult parsha to understand. I'm going to be using some of the Meforshim, mainly the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, Kotler Zecha Tzadik Gevracha, who sheds light on the parsha, and a little bit of my own, so that we could walk away with something substantial and be able to share it with family and friends. The Torah tells us a pasuk that is intriguing. We know that at the very inception, at the very beginning, when Rivka became pregnant, the Torah tells us, Vayisraita tu habonim bekirba, and the children, Yaakov and Esav, were already struggling with each other in her stomach. Vatomer, and at that time, Rivka thought, when she felt a baby, she didn't know it was babies, but only one child struggling to come out by the Beis Medrash of Shem and Aver, and then the baby was struggling to come out when it passed by an Avodah Zarah, a church. She was very, very concerned, and she did not express her joy at all. She said, if this is what it is, why did I want this? I didn't want a child who's going to be serving Hashem and bow down to an idol. She went to seek Hashem by the Beis Medrash of Eva, and Shem and Eva, and there they were Nevi'im. And as we know, they answered her, Vayomer, Hashem lo, Hashem answered her, Shnei goyim bevitnech, you have two nations in your stomach, Ushnei le'umim, and two kingdoms, Mimayayachi paredu, from your innards where are going to be divided, Ula'om la'om yamatz, and one kingdom will be stronger than the other, V'rav yavod tzair, and the older one will serve the younger one. When she found out that she was going to have twins, she felt much better, because then she said, then chinuch is in the hands of the parents too, and therefore she was going to do her utmost to see to it that, which we know, Esav, the more troublesome child, would be under her influence, and she was going to try her best to make him grow up to be a tzaddik. And as we know the story, they grew up, and until they were 13, you couldn't tell them apart. However, the Torah tells us, Vayigdalu ha'na'orim, when the children grew up, Vayihi Esav ish yodei atzayid, a man who was a hunter, he knew how to hunt, ish sada, a man of the field, Vayakov ish tam, and Yaakov was a simple man, Yoshev eholim, sitting in the tents. And we know they were sitting in the tents of learning Torah. And the next pasuk says, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav. And Yitzchak loved Esav, ki tzayed befiv, because he was able to fool him with his mouth. V'Rivka Oyheves Es Yaakov. And Rivka loved Yaakov. Very, very difficult to begin learning this parsha and how to understand it. We know at the end of the parsha, when Yitzchak's eyes failed him and he felt that he was going to pass away, so he wanted to give a bracha to Esav. So difficult to understand. He was calling over Esav to give him a bracha. Rav Aaron Zitzal right away questions the question that we all ask. Why did he want to give over the bracha to Esav? He knew who Esav really was. There was no hidden tricks over here. Yaakov was sitting and learning, and he was a tzaddik, and he was behaving, and all of a sudden, Esav is going to get the brachas. We also are struggling. The next question Rav Aaron asks, the day that Avraham was nifter, Esav violated 5 very, very serious averis. And one of the Averis, believe it or not, was Kefira. He was Kefir. He went against believing in Hashem, believing in God. And they learn it out from the Pasuk when Esav was hungry after he murdered Nimrod. He came in and he wanted that pot of beans that Yaakov prepared for his father Yitzchak, who was a mourner. So Yaakov said, you know, didn't you hear that Zaidi Avram passed away and Yitzchak is now an Avel, he's sitting on the floor where I'm preparing him something round to eat. So what happened was, he says, I want that food. So Yaakov said, well, what are you going to give me? Right? I'm not going to give it to you for free. I want you to give me something. So what do you want? Yaakov, Esau said to Yaakov, Vayome Yaakov, Michra chayomes v'choraz chali. Sell me your birthright as clear as day to me. And listen what Esau said. Vayome Esau, hinei enochi holech lomos, I'm going to die anyway. Why do I need this bechora? Our chachamim stressed the word zeh. It's an extra word. It should have said v'lama li bechora. He said, why should I be troubled with becoming a bechor which would serve Hashem in the base of Migdash? Says Chazal, the word zeh means this God. The zeh is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we say in the pasuk the same zeh. We say it in Oz Yashir, Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. When Asa said the word Zeh, he had Kavana of Hashem, not just working in the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we need this religious stuff? V'lama Zeh Li Bechora. Why do I need this God? Who needs? That's what he said. Now, it's so difficult to understand. Esav lived in the house of Avram and Yitzchak. He was at that time 15. He saw miracles. He saw l'mayla miderech hateva, things beyond nature. How could he say such a thing? What was behind him? What motivated him? Rav Aaron said, if anybody saw the Vilna Goyen, when he was alive, he would immediately say, I believe in God. No one could be kaifer. No one could go against the fact that he was a God of the world, just looking at the face of the Vilna Goyen, such a holy man. It commanded respect and commanded belief in Hashem. Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak is not even a possibility to doubt that. And Esav goes along and says, Lama zeh li b'chora? It's hard to understand. And finally, the Rav Aaron asks a very difficult question. We all know that when Esav discovered later on that he did not get the Bechora because as he came, Yaakov just left. And at that point, Yitzchak has given Yaakov everything he was supposed to give Esav. And when he came in to his father, Yitzchak, for the bracha, the following pasuk says, Kishmoa Esav es divrei aviv. When Esav heard the words of his father, Vayitzak tzo'oka gedola umara ad ma'od. And he screamed a loud and bitter, frightening scream. Vayomer, and he said, Li'oviv beracheni gamoni aviv. Father, bless me also. Very difficult. We just got through saying he denies Hashem. He doesn't want to know from him. What should he care if Yaakov got the blessings? Why should it bother him? He doesn't think anything about brachas anyway. Why was he so bitter? Now, just go off on a tangential remark. You should know that bitter and frightening cry that came out of the mouth and the heart of Esav when he discovered that Yaakov took his blessings, because Esav did know that a bracha from a Yitzchak emanated from really a Yerusha from Avraham, and a bracha from Avraham was going to be forever eternal. When he discovered that bracha he lost, and he screamed that bitter cry didn't stop resonating until many, many generations later, until one other Jew stopped him. That Jew is called Mordechai HaYehudi. Mordechai HaYehudi was the only person that was able to dispel, disband, to nullify that frightening, prosecuting scream of Esav HaRasha that came right from his heart at the time of the story of Mordechai and Esther, the story of Purim. Why? Because Mordechai came from Shevet Binyamin, and Shevet Binyamin was never born yet when all of the 11 Shvatim bowed down to Esav later on in the Parsha. Not in this week's Parsha, we're talking about later on, where after Yaakov left Lavan's house, and in Parshas Vayetze, they all had that very difficult encounter with Esav HaRasha, and they all bowed down. Binyamin wasn't born yet. Binyamin did not bow down. Esav did not affect Binyamin. And we know Haman comes from Esav because Haman comes from Amalek. And therefore, Mordechai HaYehudi from Shevet Binyamin, he was able to disband and nullify the cry, because when he found out that Haman made those letters and made a decree to kill and annihilate every Jew, he went into the middle of the street of Shushan and also screamed, "Etzaaka Gedayla," a loud and frightening scream from tshuva. And that loud and frightening scream finally disbanded that the tzaaka gedola umara of Esav HaRasha. So now let's go back to the parsha. What in the world is happening? He should be concerned about brachos that Yaakov took away? He doesn't believe in Hashem. What's going on over here? How could this all happen? So all of these questions are very intriguing. What is happening here? Yitzchak loving Esav more than Yaakov, so it appears. And Esav, who grew up in the house of Avram and Yitzchak, should deny Hashem. And despite all that, he cries, a bitter cry when he loses the brachas. Why should he care? These are all very, very intriguing and difficult questions. And Bavarin deals with these questions and brings it out in a very interesting way. And first he tells us we have to know that Esav was a tremendous maimon in Hashem. He believed in Hashem, and he believed in brachas. He grew up in the house of Avram and Yitzchak. He believed, however, that being kaifer in Hashem comes with a certain understanding how Hashem works with the world. No matter how big a person is in one level, Hashem always creates a balance on the other level. In other words, we all are familiar that as a person has a yetzer hara, right? Kol hagadol mechaveira yitzrei gadol mimenu. If you find a great person greater than his friend, you should also know his yetzer hara is greater also. Hashem makes sure that everyone's Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara are equal. But you have to make choices. And based on your choices, you can decide how you are to live. And if that is true, and everyone has a Bechira, and everyone has a chance to choose, therefore, we have to understand, Esav was a very knowledgeable person. Esav knew all about mitzvahs and knew all about Hashem. He was so devoted to Kibbutz Av. We all know about Chazal tells us that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel once said, "I adayin lo higati lechatzi kavod she chibud Esav es aviv." I haven't even arrived to the same, when I'm honoring my father, to the same covenant of Esav HaRasha. So Esav, in a very special way, was a religious person. But what happened over here? What happened? Why did he suddenly choose to present himself as a kaifer? And how did that impact on his decision on life? And Rav Aaron Zatzal explains that what happened was that his attitude towards Ruchnius, his attitude to Hashem, when he said, Lama Zeh, why do I need this? Lama Zeh Li Bechora. On the Zeh to Hashem, he was not machshiv. He was not considering the world above as something that he wanted to pursue. To explain that clearly, of the Chofetz Chaim in this week's parsha, on this whole topic of when Esav said, Hine anochi holech lamutz. I'm going to die anyway. V'lama zeli b'chora. Why do I need the b'chora? Says the Chofetz Chaim. It's a very strange thing. When you mention death to a person, it brings them to tshuva. A person could be a hardcore rasha, but when you bring him to realize that there is the end of your line and there's going to be death. Now, a person who is even given a death penalty, right, comes to terms with doing tshuva. Why did death not spark a drop of tshuva in Esav? If anything, it made him rebel. So it says the Chofetz Chaim, a beautiful insight over here. Because when we are reminded of death, it reminds us that we, in this world, are here in a prozdar. Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Chafalev, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ha'olam Hazeh Domo LeProzdar Bifnei Olam Abba. Olam Hazeh is like a corridor before Olam Abba. Haskein Atzmecha BeProzdar, prepare yourself in the corridor, Kidei Shetikonesh LaTraklin, in order that you can enter the Traklin, the main ballroom. A Yid comes to the realization that the tachlis of this world is not money and not food and not pleasure and not honor and not esteem and not wealth. This is only a stepping stone to Olam Haba. But Esav denied that. Esav said, I believe in Hashem, but I do not believe that this is a world that I'm going to be working for. No. I have no intention of putting my life into work towards the world to come. I want to have a good time, enjoy life as I live today. And this was the crux of where he made a very, very tragic mistake. Because by taking out, by having that erroneous attitude that the world that we live in is not a corridor, is not a prozdar for the traklon, for the main ballroom. Nah, we're going to have eat, merry, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. He is not interested in working for Olam Haba. He knows about mitzvahs. He knows about Hashem. But he's not interested in working for Olam Haba. Being that's the case, he divorced himself from all the lessons that he has been taught by Avraham and Yitzchak. That Torah is an antidote for the Yetzirah. Barasi li Yetzirah, says the Gemara. Barasi li Torah Tavlin. I created a Yetzirah, and I created a Torah as an antidote. No, I don't want that stuff. Well, if you don't want the antidote, and you go expose yourself to all of the ills of society, and you want to be steeped into lust and immorality, so naturally, you're not going to want to become a great person, and you're not going to want to strive for doing any mitzvahs. So therefore, when you say to Yaakov at the time of the sale of your birthright, V'lama zel li b'chora, why do I need the b'chora means? Why do I need Hashem? Why do I need the work in the Beis Hamikdash? It's a burden. I don't need it. I'm interested in living it up today. I want to have a good time today. This is what actually would happen. So even though he was aware of the bracha of that Yitzchak can give, right? He also was aware that the bracha that he lost was a very great thing, because he was cognizant of the fact that when a bracha of Yitzchak, which emanated from the bracha of Avram, was lost, he lost a gold mine, because he believed in that. He believed in the bracha. Yes, he didn't believe in working in this world to become a better person, but he believed in the bracha. And therefore, as a result, he hated Yaakov for taking the brachas. And now, understanding this, we now let's go further into the story over here. So how do we explain that Yitzchak loved Esav? Kitzayed befiv, Rivka oyheves es Yaakov. See, there was a running argument between Yitzchak and Rivka. How are we going to raise this Esav? Yaakov, they were very happy with. Yaakov was an ish tam yoshev oyholim. But how are we going to deal with this Esav? So Yitzchak said, well, I want Esav to use his gashmias tikka taiva, use his gashmias tikka attributes to eventually serve Yaakov, who is kodshei kedoshim, who is sitting and learning. Why should Yaakov work on the field? Excuse me. Why should Yaakov have to harvest? Why should Yaakov have to grind the wheat? Let all of this be done by Esav. And when Esav will serve and work for Yaakov and work together, Esav will have his connection with Olam Haba. Esav will have his connection with Torah. Esav will have his part with Hashem and have Yirah Shemayim by associating itself with Yaakov. Esav will automatically be improved, and he will come to the apex of his purpose in this world. So Yitzchak was definitely planning to bless Esav with all of the physical benefits so that eventually he will serve Yaakov. But Rivka said, no, I disagree with you. Before Esav is going to be benefiting Yaakov, Yaakov will be corrupted by Esav. I don't want the two to be near each other. I don't want them to help each other. And we know at the end of the story that Hashem agreed to Rivka and not Esav, and not Yitzchak, because Hashem, according to one of the three reasons why Yitzchak's eyes became dim, says Rashi, in order to take the blessings away from Esav. Hashem was in agreement with Rivka and not with Yitzchak. So when Yitzchak's eyes became dimmed, he felt he was going to pass away, because he was within 5 years of his mother, Sarah, who was 127 when she passed away, so he was around 123. My eyesight is leaving me. I might be dying. Let me bless Esav, which is what he had planned all along. But Hashem had other plans, and Hashem wanted Yaakov to get the blessings. And in the meantime, we know that Yaakov got the brachos, and Esav was very, very bitter about it. As a result of all of this, there is one thing, though. When Esav screamed, he said, please, Father, give me something. I need something. So Yitzchak did make something happen that Esav would be connected to Yaakov. And that was the following. It says over here the following. He says that in the pasuk, when Esav finally got a bracha, he said the following. After he begged, Vayomer Esav el Aviv, Habracha achazi lecha avi, berecheni gam oni avi. Do you not have at least one blessing for me, Father? Give me a blessing. Vayisa Esav kol vayev. And Esav again raises his voice and cries. Vayan Yitzchak Aviv, and Yitzchak his father answers, Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Hinei mishmanei ha'aretz yiyem ha'ishavecha. Behold, from the fat of the land shall be your dwelling. U'mital ha'shamayim me'ol, and from the dew of heaven above. And you will live by your sword, and your brother you will serve. And when you will be in pain, when your brother does not obey the Torah, and you can throw off the yoke that will be upon your neck. In other words, Yitzchak told Esav, I'm going to give one thing that you do want, some kind of control. But it's control over Yaakov with a condition. If Yaakov obeys the Torah, you cannot touch him. That'll be a yoke over your neck. But as soon as Yaakov does not obey the mitzvos of the Torah, you will be upset about that, that he got the blessings. You can throw off your yoke and you'll be superior. And that is what has happened throughout the entire history of the Jewish people. Whenever the Jewish people don't listen to the Torah, don't obey the mitzvos, and they are keneged chazal, against our chachamim, against the teachings of our leaders, then Esav becomes superior. And that's what has happened throughout the millennia. This is always as has happened. It happened in the time of Hanukkah, when the Jewish people started following Greek practices. It's the same thing that happened in the time of Mordechai and Esther, when they did not want to obey to the Chachamim. And throughout history, whenever there was such a thing, when Jewish people stopped obeying, Esav became stronger. Esav was there. But as soon as they did tshuva, then Esav was put into control. So yes, in a certain way, Yitzchak wanted Esav to work for Yaakov. So in a certain way, he did. He worked as Yaakov's whipping boy, that he was always there to whip Yaakov into line. But one of the most important things that we are learning from this parasha, and I must stress this because this is something so fundamental to our lives and fundamental to Yiddishkeit, and that is attitudes of people that we have. It's our hard drive of how we live as people. If we have a positive attitude towards life, we have a positive attitude towards doing mitzvahs, we can accomplish worlds. The sky is the limit. If a person has a proper attitude and he falls, Chazal tell us, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. A tzadik falls many times. And Mishlei mentions 7, but it's just a mashal, many times. A tzadik falls many times. A rasha falls only once. With a proper attitude, we can pick ourselves up and we grow and we become great in our midos and in our struggling against the Yetzer Hara. It's part of life. An attitude is so basic, it's so fundamental, that if you remember at the beginning of Lech Lecha, that the Torah tells us when Avram came from Haran to Eretz Canaan, the Torah says, Vayikach Avram Esari Ishta V'Aslot Ben Achiv, Avram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, v'eskol v'chusham asher achashu, and all of their wealth and possessions, v'es hanefesh asher asu v'charon, and the souls that they made in Charon. V'yesu alechas arts Canaan, and went out to the land of Canaan, v'yavo arts Canaan, and they arrived in arts Canaan. What does this mean? And the souls that they have made in Charon. What do you mean, make souls? I mean, the souls that they made means the minds that they made. They brought people closer to Hashem, closer to meaning in life. When you have the proper attitude and you look at life with a healthy attitude, then there is no limit to how much you can grow and how much you could strive and accomplish. That which Esav had an opportunity to look at all of the role models that he had, and he discarded them because of his corrupted attitude. He didn't want to work on Avodas Hashem, even though he saw it in living color. He wasn't interested in that. He wanted to live a day. He wanted to just enjoy life until he dies. He didn't care about the world to come. He was just interested in the pleasures of today, even though he knew no one lives forever. So what's the purpose of just living and eating and enjoying with no future ahead of you? His attitude was corrupt. But Avraham taught us that with a proper attitude, you can create people. And with the right attitude, you can accomplish worlds. We all struggle. We struggle in our lives with different challenges. We struggle with learning how much we should learn and what things we should learn and how much time we should spend learning. We struggle with doing mitzvahs. But as long as our attitude is positive, we can come by with the struggle and make an honest decision. Even on things which are not necessarily religious, on health issues, we all struggle. People struggling with a healthy diet. People who have a cholesterol problem. The cholesterol is dangerously high. They know if they eat liver, it's like eating poison, because it's the highest amount of cholesterol in liver. If they know that their lives are on the line, they have to make a decision, do we want to remain healthy or, God forbid, not? A person has high blood pressure. He knows he has to reduce and minimize the amount of salt intake and other things that create high blood pressure. Yes, he might have a lust and desire to eat certain foods, but he has to control himself because he wants to have a better life, a healthier life, because he presents himself with his goal that this world is a prozdar. We're not here forever. We have to accomplish what we need to accomplish. And if we're not healthy, then we can't accomplish our goals. So an attitude, a healthy attitude, a proper attitude in guarding our health is fulfilling a mitzvah. Ushmartem me'od l'nafshei seichem. And this we all learn, a byproduct from this week's parsha, where Esav, unfortunately, had a corrupted attitude. So all of the role models that he had were worth nothing to him because his attitude was corrupt. For us to grow and to prosper, for us to gain and to become great in our learning, in our mitzvah doing, and in our health, we have to have a healthy attitude. We have to be able to control ourselves. There has to be that mind over matter, that our mind has to be in control so that we are able to serve Hashem and reach our goals. May we all take from this parsha that each of us have special neshamas and each of us have different challenges. And we have to come to terms with our abilities, with our insecurities, and with our things that trouble us. And with a proper attitude, we can overcome all of these things. And with Hashem's help, each one of us will live healthy, happy, productive lives, and we will serve Hashem to our greatest potential. Have a wonderful week.